Can you hear me okay as a couple of people? My name is Michael Amo. I'm the vice chair of the New York State Racing Fan Advisory Council. And we welcome all of you here today.
It's not that good. It's a little bit louder.
Point two, maybe closer.
Closer,
does that work better?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we can find it. Yeah, I'm Michael Amo. I'm the vice chair of the Racing Fan Advisory Council. I'll introduce the people in a minute. I'll tell you a little bit about the council, and then I'll go around the introductions of the members of the table, and then we'll start our program. The Racing Fan Advisory Council was formed by executive order through the New York State Racing and Wagering Board 3 years ago, and its purpose is to collect racing fan opinions in New York State, how we can improve the sport, how we can make recommendations to the New York State Gaming Commission now, as well as track operators, about ways we think we might make the sport better for all of us who are fans. That's in a nutshell what it is. We have some secondary mandates, and you can go to our website and take a look at them, and it's gaming.newyork.gov/underracing. You'll find a lot about what we do. You'll see our report from last year. We're mandated to provide an annual report to the Gaming Commission by December 31st. And we get information from meetings like this where you tell us what you think. We write it down, we take it, and talk about it, and decide how we can use that to make recommendations to the appropriate policy-making folks. And we have a couple of other mandates in addition to that. One is we've been mandated to look at a farm award for racing thoroughbreds and standardbred farms across the state. With the idea being, how do you begin to talk about racing at the local community level as opposed to just around racetracks? Is it important for some farm in St. Lawrence County to be involved in telling us what a great sport this is to the people in that county, and not just around Belmont or Saratoga? We also are talking about how can we create something as obvious, it seems to me, as the I Love New York horse racing campaign. We've never had that. We have I Love New York Everything Else, but we don't have an I Love New York horse race. And it seemed to me that it would be a no-brainer to begin to try to talk about how do we get people interested in racing across the state, and that's another topic. The chairman of our committee is Patrick Connors. He is tied up in a previous commitment. He's a professor of law at Albany Law School, currently teaching a bar prep exam this afternoon in Manhattan, so I don't think he had to do that. He couldn't come here. I introduce myself, Michael Amo. I've been a fan for a number of too many years. My first experience was watching Aladar Affirm run down this very track, and I thought that's where racing was going to be the rest of my life. I'm involved in a number of aspects of racing. I created a group called Thoroughfans, the National Thoroughbred Racing Fan Association. We've got members all over the country. The idea, again, is to try to rebuild the fan base. It's a not-for-profit 501c3. And when I have some extra time, I'm also an elected official. I'm a county legislator from the County of Orange, which I represent the southern part of the county, West Point, Monroe, Woodbury Common, that area. That's my district, and I do that. I'm going to introduce Alan Carter, who's a historian at the National Racing Museum, will be joining us later. He's coming down on a bus with the New York Breeders, so he'll be here to join us shortly, and we'll introduce him when he comes. Kelly Young, who is our standard bred expert, is actually on sabbatical in Germany and will be here in November for our meetings at Saratoga Harness Track, which we're going to have one later in November. I want to now introduce the other people at the table. At my very far right is Charlie Diamond, and I'd like him to tell a little bit more about himself, except that he's the representative with the New York State Gaming Commission. And then could you say something, Charlie?
Sure. My wife would say I say too much. But let me introduce myself. Michael, thank you, too, for all that you do for Thoroughfan, for what I call RFAT, for the Racing Fan Advisory Council, and for racing generally. I mentioned this in Goshen, at the historic Goshen track back in April, and I mentioned publicly that we owe you a debt of gratitude for everything that you do for racing. So thank you. My name is Charlie Diamond. I was on the Racing and Wagering Board up until January 31st of this year. And I transferred over kind of when the board morphed into the Gaming Commission. As you know, the Lottery and the Racing and Wagering Board became the Gaming Commission with four separate divisions. My official title is Director of Racing Promotion and Development. I oversee the breeding funds. I do hearings and a few other things, but I'm happy to be here. I grew up around Saratoga, so I spent most of my life going up to the racetrack with my dad and then later on with my friends. I'm there virtually every single day during the meet, and now I get to go up to the Oklahoma track. I try to kind of segment my times from the Schenectady office, and I try to get up to the Oklahoma track on Friday mornings to see the guys in the workouts and keep my involvement at the training track. So I'm pleased to be here. I'm here to listen to your recommendations on improving this great industry, this horse racing industry that we have, standardbred or thoroughbred, and use your recommendations to certainly make the fan experience better and to make racing better. So thank you. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. We'll get into the meat of the program later. We really encourage you to, we have a microphone over there. We want you to start talking to us. This is not a lecture. We're here to listen to what you think, and we'll take good notes, and we'll be sure we record your thoughts. So we will not try to defend a position. We're just going to listen to you. Let me introduce another member of our council to you, who will then introduce our guests today. Michael Mills is the village administrator of the village of Elmsford and has been a racing fan, even though I was a little older. He remembers Secretariat running, so I guess he started back in 73. I didn't quite get there then. And he's a 1986 graduate of the University of Louisville, so he spent a good amount of time in horse country. So let me, without any getting into the details of his total background, I'll let him tell you more, but I'll introduce Michael Mills, who now will introduce our two guests.
Maybe. Thanks, Mike. Just to add to my little brief bio, because you're not here to know who I am and get started. Can you hear me?
Okay.
In addition, I'm probably on the committee, even though we're all fans, I'm probably as close to the fan base as anyone on the committee, and I think that's why I was chosen to be here. It's indeed a pleasure to introduce the two gentlemen who are here to help us today. Andy Serling once said about them something to the effect that they are the stars of the future of handicapping. Mike Illman, I'm going to stop because of the national anthem. Two things when you're speaking in public, you never want to talk and national anthem is playing, and you never want to follow kids. Dan Illman is the DFRs.com handicapping editor and has been with the Daily Racing Forum since 1998. He released DFR's DVD Trips Handicapping and authored Betting Maidens and Two-Year-Olds. Dan has appeared on ESPN, TVG, HRTV, and is the co-host of the Daily Racing Forum News Desk. Also with us is Daily Racing, DFR.com handicapper Mike Beer, He has been with the Racing Form since 2000 and is the co-host of the Daily Racing Form News Desk. He is a regular guest on At the Races radio program and is featured Daily Racing Form handicapper for Naira Tracks and gives special analysis on New York races on the DFR.com. Dan and Mike were asked and have agreed today to join us to provide their insight on the racing fan experience in New York and handicapping insights on a couple races today for New York Showcase Stakes races as well. And I also want to point out that not only sharing the name Mike, but Mike Beer also spends a lot of time in Saratoga in the backyard as well as I do. It's very rare, I think, that Mike dresses like that at the racetrack, nor do I dress like this at the racetrack. So without further ado, Mike and Dan.
Thank you very much, guys. First, I would just like to thank you guys for asking us to be here. I think Dan and I are always very happy to participate in things like this. I'll just start off by saying my involvement with horse racing goes back to when I was a kid. I grew up in Saratoga Springs. I had an older brother who was very, very much into handicapping. Once he finished up with his schoolwork, he decided to get more involved in the game on a personal level. He took out a trainer's license. We started in the standardbred game. My father owned a bunch of standardbreds. My brother was the trainer of those horses. So I grew up working around the barns with my family, which was what we did in the morning. And then me and my brother the Saratoga Harness Track simulcast every afternoon. So that's pretty much how I grew up from the time I was about 13 or 14, really into the racing game, and eventually wound up at the Racing Form in 2000. After I was there for a couple years, Mr. Hillman over here forced me to do more handicapping stuff. So that's just a little bit of background about how I got into the game. I'll just say this, as far as the fan experience goes, which is what we're here trying to get some information on and hopefully some good recommendations from guys like you who spend a lot of time at the track. I suspect, and I won't speak for Dan on this, but I suspect that he'll feel the same way that I do. Our experiences at the track, when we come out to the track, I think, are probably a little bit different than yours, and that we work in the industry, we have credentials, the DRF has a box that we can sit in, and we don't pay because we don't work. And we can go anywhere we want in the facility pretty much. So our experience, I think, is a lot different than yours. So I would be really interested and encourage people to talk about what it's like to come to the track where you don't have the kind of access that we have. But that is a whole different thing. My, as much as I love racing and the horses and all that stuff that goes into putting the show on, I will point out that my focus when it comes to racing is on betting, pure and simple. And to me, anything that needs to be worked upon in this game, corrected in this game, improved on in this game, it comes down to that. It comes down to the bettors. The guys that are out here betting on the race, they're not even out here, you should be doing it at home now too, but wherever you are, that's the biggest thing to me, and I won't contradict anything else for my part of this thing, because I think that's all there is to it. I love racing, I love the horses, but if I came out here tomorrow and they said, listen, we're still going to put the show on, somebody's going to pay the purses, but you guys can't bet on it anymore, I wouldn't come out here. So I think that's what it's all about to me. I think the bettors could certainly be treated a lot better than they are in this game. I think everybody is sort of aware of that by now. The takeout discussion comes up all the time. The bettors are the only ones who seem to really care about it. The people who are in charge of this game and the regulars of this game don't care about it because they think that we don't care about it. If anybody paid attention to that simulcast conference that they had going on last month, you have guys who are in charge at racetracks saying, I never hear anybody talk about decaf. It doesn't matter. I feel like that's the answer. That's the status quo. That's the answer you're always going to get from racetrack executives, and it's obviously 100% wrong. And I don't know that's ever going to change, but it's, you know, I think it's something that should really be focused on in this game. I think there is some focus on it. I think there's got to be more that can be done. The tax issue is another one that seems like there's never any movement on. With the lower minimum bets, that sort of alleviated some of it, but that's still a big problem. Those are things that I think really need to be worked on this game. It's stuff for bettors. Guys, I'm assuming like everybody who's sitting here today who bet the races every day. And perhaps it just comes down to maybe a track could implement some kind of rewards program maybe for guys who are betting. I mean, you know, there are certain, I guess, you know, NYRA in a lot of ways, people who come here may not believe it, but the people who come to the NYRA tracks and that bet with NYRA online and go to NYRA's website, we're pretty spoiled with this game, believe it or not. I mean, there are a lot of tracks out there that don't offer a fraction of the things that NYRA does for horse players, either online or at the track. And Dan and I spend a lot of time going around to different tracks or the Coach Review seminars at different tracks. And you go to those tracks, there are no, you're on your own when you go there. You show up as a bettor at those tracks. Not only are you paying $8 to get into the place, but you're on your own there. There's no handicappers there. They don't do a simulcast show. Their website has nothing but the equipment feed for entries and scratches and results. There's nothing else for horse players. So NYRA actually does a very good job on it. I would like to see more tracks. There's a lot of wagering going on off track now. I'd like to see more tracks that do allow you to bet, to offer at least some kind of rewards program. If they're not going to lower takeout, some kind of rewards program for the guys who are betting. You could be sitting at home betting $20,000 a year. It's not a ton of money, but it's a big investment in this game. If you're going to be betting $20,000 a year, plus that means you're a guy who's consuming all of the products that racing puts out, like you're buying past performances, you're doing all this stuff, that's a big investment in this game. You could walk into this track any day of the week. They would have no idea who you are. That guy should not be paying $2 to walk through the door. That guy, $3 to walk through the door, thank you. That guy should not be you know, coming in here on a day when it's crowded and have no place to sit. Those guys don't know who you are if you're betting. That's a big investment. I think that's the kind of stuff, and I'm gonna end it with that, but I think that's the kind of stuff that that the people in charge of any racetrack need to be way, way, way more in touch with than they are now. And I'll leave it at that, and I'll let Dan say his piece now. Thank you.
Just one comment before you go on. The Racing Fan Advisory Council's report for 2012, the number one recommendation was reducing takeout.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure. Yeah.
First recommendation, and most people probably don't know, but New York State law says that a track may request an adjustment in takeout quarterly.
Yes.
So it's not like a big deal. You can request the takeout. Have you agreed to a reduction?
Well, first I want to thank everybody for coming out here today. It's a very important meeting because, as Mike mentions, there's sort of an us versus them mentality as pertains to us the better and them the racetrack management. And Mike went over a lot of the reasons why that's the case. And it's pretty galling that in the 21st century that is the case, that we're coming out here and the bettors have to pay for admission, can't get a seat, and have to deal with a ridiculous and onerous takeout. And that's why meetings like this are very important, because the racing fan needs a voice. The bettor needs a voice. And we're hoping that you can be the base for that voice with your comments, with your questions, and with your concerns, and hopefully the commission can put out a report, and hopefully the racetracks will listen, because we are the basis for this game. I agree with Mike 100%, and I believe that you will probably agree as well that if there wasn't betting, maybe we'd watch the Kentucky Derby if they were up their purses, but I'm not sure I'd be coming out here. We like to gamble. I came here for the first time when I was 4 years old with my father and my great uncle. I went right up that escalator. I looked out over the track and I said to myself, wow, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And then when I realized that there was an intellectual challenge in handicapping the races and that if you do your work, you can maybe pick a winner once in a while. And then when I realized that there was money to be made, and then when I realized that I'm betting against everyone here and being 5'0" and 100 pounds who couldn't play football or baseball. This is a sport where I can participate and be a participant. Unlike really any other sport, I can say to Mike after the race, if I pick a winner and he picks a loser, which happens quite often, I can say, well, what do you mean you didn't see that trip three starts back? And that's what's great about this game. I want to make this really brief, because again, this meeting is not about us, it's about you. We want to hear your questions, we want to hear your concerns and your comments, because again, you are the basis for this game. Your dollars, your time, your effort, we appreciate it. I wish that the administration of several of the racetracks and other entities in this business appreciated it a lot more. Thanks a lot for coming again. Please, we really appreciate all of your questions and concerns about any aspect of the game.
Thank you, Dan and Mike. We can go ahead and begin your comments now. We have a microphone over there because we're trying to tape what we can do so we can have records. You don't have to use it if you want to speak up. We may not be able to hear you later on when we're recording it, so it would be your advantage to use the microphone. You can just light up and jump in behind that gentleman in the red. We won't be that formal. If it gets to be a real contentious issue, we'll have to figure some rules out. So let's not worry about it now. Go ahead. Please tell us your name, at least, or even tell us where you're from so we can
talk. Well, Glenn, my name is Bo. I've been coming to races for 4 years. My phone's not on.
Mike, could you help us with that? Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. I'm from Brooklyn, and I've been coming to race for 40 years, and I don't think the mission is that expensive compared to other things, but some of the rules, 3 weeks ago on Sunday, they had a gate scratch, number 12, and he threw a shoe, and they just let him race for a purse. He came in, and anybody who had him in the pick three, the pick five, or the pick six, they lost everything. I don't know why they can't have a rule where if a horse actually races, that if the horse should come in, the people can't collect on him. I mean, the horse won the race, and he's a winner. All the other people, they go on the post-time favorite, and the post-time favorite came in fourth. How would you feel? You have an $8,000 pick six. Your horse won by 12 lengths, and you lost everything because they don't have enough money to have a blacksmith in the by the starting gate. This horse, if it would have been the Kentucky Derby, and if a horse would have threw a shoe, they would put a new shoe on him. And that's it. And one other thing, are they going to have 5 days race in Aqueduct in Illion?
We don't know that. Yeah. Just one question I would clarify. We know what the rules are. Would you argue for a refund on that ticket?
No, if the horse wins, and he wins, no problem. If he should finish out the money, or they should make that a all race then, and this way everybody, you know, it's better to get a consolation and then lose $12,000 because your horse won the race by 12 lengths, but he threw a shoe and they figured he should be only racing for purse money only.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody up here want to comment on that point?
Not a specific comment. I do. I think it's pretty. Another thing that's pretty well documented in this game is that there needs to be some kind of a rule change. Just the situation he's talking about with late scratches and multi-race wagers, and it seems like not only do all the tracks handle differently, so you don't even know from track to track what's going to happen in that situation, but it's a different rule for a pick three than it is for a pick four in New York. You know, if you had that horse in the pick three, you would have got a refund. In the pick four, you know. And that's the kind of stuff that needs to go with a racing and wagering board. It needs to be, you know, they need to look at that and come up with a real good solution for something like that.
Next gentleman, could you just give your first name and where you're from? Just first name and where you're from.
George from Astoria. I grew up here when I was 3 years old, playing the horses for 35 years. I don't want to make this a venting session. I'm just going to give a couple of quick ideas, because that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
One, It's depressing to see the track empty. I love it in an environment like Saratoga or Keeneland. You know, it gets the juices flowing, you handicap better. It's a good image. So my first idea is to make a 5% on-track increase in return. Horse pays $8. You bet it from home, you get $8. You bet here, you get $8.40. That'll get people to the track. It'll drive more action here. It'll encourage one thing that you mentioned, betting.
Let me just stop. We've heard that elsewhere. What you're suggesting is, if I got you right, is a reduction in takeout on-track wagers?
Correct. And keep my narrow rewards in place, by the way, with that extra 5%. Second thing I would suggest is more of a marketing idea. To be a horse player is terrible. I'm not going to say what I do for a living, but I'm not going to tell anybody I'm a horse player, though. That's a problem. It's okay to be a brain-dead person that walks into a casino, plug in your card, and don't think at all, blow away thousands of dollars. But if I can intelligently play horses and break even, betting $500,000 a year, which is my handle, I'm a parasite. That's wrong. So my second idea is to brand the game as a sport, but intellectual investing. It's the same thing as the stock market. Same thing as buying a mutual fund. Same thing. The image is wrong. So if the image is corrected and it's advertised that way, guess what? You're going to have more people coming over. If you tie that up with a lower takeout, you're going to get more of the corporate crowd. Last idea is to bring young women to the track. Go for two free drinks to every female 21 to 30. Sorry if it's sexist or if it's, you know, age discrimination. But what does that do? Brings young guys to the track. What do? They drink, they spend money, they gamble, then it becomes the place to be. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you, Jordan. Next person, please.
I have to go back to Big Five.
Hi, my name is Aaron. I live in East Meadow. I've been coming here for over 40 years. And I guess the biggest problem is this is all the people you have for fan advisors. There's no one here anymore. The track does little things just to irritate people who come every day. Like, for instance, you have this simulcast program that the track did away with that was like $1, I believe. Then they reinstituted it, made it $2.50, and then they throw away hundreds of them each day, but they give it to an owner for free, but a bettor who has an account or a seasoned pass holder for Naira cannot get this program without paying $2.50. I mean, it's ridiculous. They've driven away all the people. I mean, if you go up on the third floor where I've hung out for 40 years, it's one-third of the people. They close the sections where you hang out and say they can't get someone to clean it. They want to save money on cleaning, but they don't care if people are comfortable. The admission, originally when you were an account holder, if you had $1,000 in your account, you got free admission. They did away with that. On their website, where they tell you about betting, that Naira is the best betting platform that they have, they're lying. Because there are platforms, ADWs, that give you rebates no matter how much you bet every day. And you don't have to bet a certain amount. So, I mean, they don't even tell you the truth about that. And they've taken a lot away from the track experience. I mean, I love coming to the track. But, like, now when I walk upstairs and there's nobody there from years ago, I mean, these guys have seen that. By the way, nice job on the interviews with Harvey Pack. We ought to bring Harvey Pack and give him a day and let him talk for a while. Because he's the one who got us all into this game. You have to stand. That's all I
have. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, please.
We're looking for recommendations and advice, and certainly you gave some great ideas. Do you think that is the, because you mentioned Saratoga, I'm sorry, the person before you did that, is the footprint at Belmont, is it too big? Is it?
No, I don't think it's too big. I think it's just not, I think Belmont, I mean, I'm going to say, I think Belmont's a much better track than Saratoga. I mean, it's nicer, it's more modern. I mean, if you have to find a way to advertise it as a gambling enterprise, people aren't coming here to hear bands play. I mean,
understand.
It's ridiculous. I mean, like, look at poker. They Like they promote their players. We should promote. I haven't seen anybody promote players since Andy Beyer was a kid. I mean, Naira does a good job with the races. There's no problem there with their comments and everything. I think they do a very good job with that. But as far as just treatment, I'll give you an example. You've had three different machines since in the last 20 years. I think they've changed their betting machines three times, and each time it's gotten worse instead of better. How could that be? It's impossible. You had the first time you had the machines with the Tiny Tim, they were great machines. They used to have machines just for people who had accounts, used to be able to get there and bet in 2 seconds. Then they put in these other machines, the second one. They were horrible, and they didn't even have separate machines for people who had accounts. Now you put in this third machine, which is even worse than the second. It's hard to believe you could do that. I mean, how could it get worse when everybody else is getting better when it comes to these things? It doesn't make sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next gentleman, please. Nick, first name, and just an area so we can reference the comment.
My name is Savino Fazzolari, resident of Mansfield, Queens. I've been coming here since I was 13 years old, which makes me here 45 years. I probably love this place more than my own house. I've been here, I've come in here so many times, I can't count a finger on it. It's been, you know, I just think this place is the grand Taj Mahal, as Tom Jerton calls it. And you know what the problem here is, in all facets, four letters, N-Y-R-A. Perfect example. Today, we had this forum scheduled for 11 o'clock. The gates don't open till 11. So we start here at 11:15. At 11:30, we got the jockey signings in the server. Where do you think the people are going? They're not coming here. The people here don't trust Naira to come and give their opinion. They do not trust them at all. I don't trust them. Perfect example. Thank you, Chris Kay. Stayed here to talk to the dignitaries. When the forum begins, he takes off. That's your representative. He gives two craps about the fans. I met him in Saratoga after he did a photo op, which he never missed. I said I wanted to ask him something. He said, I got to go to an important meeting. I'll try to get back to you. What a crock of baloney. I also want to let you know I was at a forum at Yonkers Raceway with Bob Galterio.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We were there. All the recommendations we made, nothing was done. Absolutely nothing. So, coming here today to give you my opinion on a couple of things. First off, Naira does nothing for the fans in Belmont or at Aqueduct. Now, I know at Aqueduct you have gambling, but the bottom line is, it's been 2.5 years since the third floor was knocked down and they were going to replace it with a big, beautiful betting thing with carols and all that stuff. They still have wires hanging from it. They have no interest in dealing with anything down here. All they want to do is take care of Saratoga.
I just want a comment for you before you begin, because you're right at Yonkers. Now, I knew you from somewhere.
Yes.
I couldn't remember where I saw you before. What the commission, the council has done is we've reached out to every track and OTB operation in the state, sent them a copy of our report for 2012. We can do no more. And said, please tell us what you've done. And in the 2013 report, we will list by track and OTB and other entity what exactly they did to correct the problems you recommended. And if the answer is zero, it'll be there.
They didn't do anything.
Okay.
Now here in New York and in Belmont, as you can see, they've let this track get out of harm's way because they've done nothing to upkeep it. There ain't a coat of paint on the fence. There's nothing done here. But they want to spend $587 million to take care of Saratoga. I mean, are you kidding me? We race here 10 months a year. And I got to worry about them expenditures going to take care of the old barnyard in Saratoga. I love Saratoga. I go up there during the Alabama week. But the bottom line is, what about here? Okay? And the things regarding racing, in my opinion, number one, when horses are scratched at the gate, you never get an explanation why. A trainer who I will not name told me, quote unquote, the stewards told Dr. Vettorosa to not release information it should only go to them, and they'll decide if it's quantified to let it out. I want to know why they scratch them. Half the horses they scratch are prancing around. They're ready to go. They're physically not ill to race. And 2 years ago, we had an epidemic of scratches at the gate, both at Aqueduct and at Belmont. And Verderosa was getting a lot of heat because he's scratching horses left and right. The poor guy's under a lot of pressure. They don't want no issues like happened with John Velasquez did with that horse where he wasn't ready to go. So they don't want to take a chance. Let the horse run. And the other thing, aside from the gate thing, is when there's equipment changes and they're announced 15 seconds before post time, that should not happen. That's the steward's fault. And I will tell you, many fans that I know, they don't trust the stewards in New York more than anywhere. Forget about what they did to John Beach. These stewards here are not trusted by the racing fan because they don't make information accountable. They do the DQs on TV. They just show you the little box and Tom Dirksen did this, that. The stewards were supposed to write a report and it's supposed to be published somewhere. I don't see it anymore. They did it in the beginning. They don't do it here no more. This the problem is this association had no connection with its fans. They don't do promotions for their fans. They come in on weekends. The weekends is your biggest money-making time. They do it. I disagreed with the other fellow. They do a great job with the Family Fun Day, the painting. I love that. I think that's great to bring people in. But what about the other fan? The other racetrack they offer, and don't get me wrong, I don't need a hot dog, but they offer hot dogs. So they offer you a discount. They offer you a free admission if you're here before a certain time. Do you know when the last time that they offered a souvenir at Belmont? They're not at Saratoga. You get one every week. You get a blanket, a cup, a this and that. Pretty soon you'll get a dinner for two at Ciro's from them.
I want to get on to the next question, but sure. I want to segue to that. I hope we have enough, but the New York Racing Association gave to us to give out to anybody at the end. We have those commemorative racing cards that they gave out at Saratoga, and we have some beer signs. They'll be around for just anybody who wants to pick one up. I just thought, you said it made me think I forgot to announce it.
I thank you for your time. I can't come up to Saratoga, so okay. Well, I hope this will yield something, but it's very sad. It really is. Okay. Very sad.
Do we have any? So many people who came in later were asking if you have comments to us, just step up the microphone. If anybody, let me see if there's anybody who wants to talk before you.
One other comment. At Aqueduct, you can't even watch the races outside with a good view because the only place at the track you can watch it is now on the second floor, and that's past the finish line. You have a better view from the casino if they let you watch it, but there's not one television in the casino that shows races, and there's not one place in the casino that you can bet races. Why would you go to the track if you can't even go outside to watch the race?
Thank you. The gentleman behind you. If you just give your first name and where you're from, just so we can record.
My name is Scott. I'm from Queens, living in Manhattan now.
That's good.
As much as I like coming out to the track, most of my wagering is done, you know, at home. And one of the exciting things that I saw that I recommended recently was getting all the HD television camera work. The problem is there's nowhere to watch this. I know online the quality is still pretty poor. It seems like there's agreement here, you know, there's no TV broadcasting it. I watch the replays, you know, on the MSG HD network. I still don't see the high def, so I'm wondering where is this programming?
You got that down. We in our report in 2012, and again, we make a report. We don't have authority to demand it. You can help us by helping us with it. We did recommend an improvement in televisions and high definition, and we'll see what the response is when we go to our 13 report. Anybody else? I got a question to you, sir. Scott, could you come back? Michael has a question.
You're talking more off track, correct?
Yeah, I'm talking, like I said, online. I watch the Keeneland feed looks very crisp. So, I mean, other, you know, tracks have done this correctly. And, like I said, the cameras, I know they're out there based on, you know, the aspect that they're shooting, and I just don't see it on the actual video.
Thank you.
First name and place.
Yes. My name is Mitch, and I live in Massachusetts, Queens. Coming here for more than 30 years. And I've got just a couple of minor points, but it all adds up. for instance, on Sundays, Channel 2 and Channel 5 have football games on the TV, but right now, they won't let you watch it at the racetrack. This is what has changed me from coming here every Sunday for many, many years, and now I stay home and do it on the computer on Sunday. Another complaint is that on third floor, for 2 years, there's a broken TV right in the section above us, which these people have complained about many times, and the aqueduct people, neither doesn't replace the TV. Meanwhile, they're grabbing TVs from all areas of the track, and they're just, I don't know what they're doing with them, but they're taking them away, and there's an area where these people go every single day, a big TV right in the middle of their section, and they refuse to fix it. Another area that needs to be improved is the sound system. It has improved since a long time ago at this track, but there still are several areas. If a man who works on that sound walks around the track, he'll notice there's still several areas where you cannot hear the announcement. You can't hear the race call. It's absurd in this day and age that you can't get speakers that work, or this person who's supposed to walk around and fix these areas where the sound doesn't work to fix it. And another incredible thing is right over here, there's four machines that you want to watch replays. Whoever made this purchase of that system is a total ignorant person. They don't work. Every single machine, you hit the button, you hit the button, you hit the button, and it doesn't work. Okay, somebody made a mistake, but it should now be replaced with a system that works, so you can go there and hit the button and watch your replay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Let me, before we go to the next person who has a question, let me introduce another member of our council, Alan Carter, who I briefly introduced at the beginning, is a member of the council appointed by the governor. And I want to let you, he's also the historian of the National Museum of Racing and the author of 100, blah, 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 blah. You can talk, you want to say a few words. He's the author of, what, 150 years?
150 years. Co-op.
You got to lean up closer to the mic, Alan.
Okay. Co-op. But I'm just glad to be here and a historic track like this. And once you keep talking, it's good.
Next person. Anybody else want to make a muscle? I mean, every time I walk around the track, everybody has an opinion. Every fan has an opinion. They tell me their opinion. Now you got a microphone. Tell us your opinion. Come on up and say it, please. Don't miss the opportunity to say something. Right up here, you know. No penalty. Nobody's taking names. We just want to know so we can track. Why I'm asking for a first name and a location is if I hear the tape, I go, oh, I remember that guy. So I don't want to identify him. I just got to put it in my head.
My name is Frank. I live in Patcho. And my issue is the Saratoga meet. Over the years, the whole way that you wait out, you go in when the gate opens to get a picnic table. It seems now it's just been dominated by people with these pop-ups. And it's taken away from what was like a nice family area. People are waiting for groups to arrive. And there used to be a little chalk line around the whole paddock area. And that has disappeared. People are taking their own tables and chairs and going up against that rail. And I don't understand if someone is supposed to be watching it, where they are.
Michael, this is he's a culprit. He's the guy that takes up the
just ask you a question. I'm, as someone who spends a lot of time at Saratoga in the back, has experienced the last 25 running of the bulls on Traverse Day.
Very good.
Getting online at 2 o'clock in the morning. How would you suggest fixing it?
There's got to be some sort of regulation with the people that take multiple tables. I, for one, we have a small family. I don't need four or five. But when people come in and it's one individual placing the tablecloths to reserve the limited tables, it seems a little frustrating to me. And I don't know what you could do at whatever the gate opens, 7 o'clock in the morning, to stop me from reserving a bunch. But I think that should be issued. And the pop-ups, if you bring a pop-up, you're enclosing like four different tables, and those are yours. That, again, just seems to be something that can be addressed by you guys.
One of the things I'll point out to you, several years ago, especially on Travers Day and the other big days, they would, once the gates opened, people went in, they got their tables, the staff would go around, and there needed to be at least one body for every table.
Okay.
And that helps out a lot.
Right.
But I will also tell you, the quantity of people, especially on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, whether they do that or not, all those tables are going to be gone
right.
within 30 minutes correct. On most days.
Okay, so now the people come in as the day goes on and just take over.
Correct. Then they take over places which, for example, I can tell you some of the groups that I go and enjoy with, we will move the tables around so you can't get in to take one of those places and put chairs there because people just come at, you know, 5 minutes of one and expect to get a table. The other thing with the pop-ups, which we tried to help some of the Pinkertons and things do this year, is that at least get the pop-ups away from the front of the screens.
Okay.
And I believe next year they are going to actually line that off where pop-ups, the big screens in the back.
Okay. And that rail against the paddock.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue. I agree with that.
That
they never used to let anybody set up the paddock like that. Now you go over and it's nothing. You got to get the people there for the paddock.
Also, one of the other problems within the morning, which I'll identify now as one of my notes, I guess, because you know I have this credential that I can walk in the gate at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't do that. I get online, but I watch as I'm standing there, people after people, and they're mostly owners or people who have interest in a horse that go in, and they're pretending that they're going in to see the workouts. And they go in and they hide behind a tree,
right.
and when the gate opens up, they take 5 or 6 tables.
That's
something that has to be stopped.
I think that most of the time they identify with, they all have the same, if it was me, they'll have a blue and white check. To me, someone should realize that the 6 blue and white checks is a little much. I don't know if now you could say there's a limit to how many tables you can take per person, but that could be...
I think
your point is good. I think maybe we need to, you know, and Michael's talking about it, see if they can't get a policy like that. And even on big race days at Belmont Stakes. So that's a good recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think another problem, because I'm not the back stretch, but I like to see races rather than watching on the screen. But even the unreserved seats, like at Travers Day, a lot of people that you're supposed to read your newspaper, nobody thinks that people do it all the time.
Sure.
And NYRA says that they can't enforce it.
Oh, okay.
That's just a
tradition. Thank you for listening.
Next, please. Michael, you got it? Okay. Just stand up behind the mic.
I know there's an archaic lore about the...
Give me your first name and the city so we know how to track.
Ron from Wantagh. Ron from Long Island, racing fan 40 years, a little bit of harness racing too. There's an archaic lore on the books about NYRA not being able to take out-of-state harness tracks. And while Empire City and OTBs can take all tracks, I know that I've written to NYRA about Port Saratoga. They said they were going to look into it. There was a new man, Scott Foley, I think, Finley, of simulcasting. They said to address something to him. I wrote to him. I didn't get a response. Any word for you?
No, we don't. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay. Is it being looked into in any degree?
I don't know that. I'm going to record it. Does anybody on the panel know whether or not that's going to be looked into? I don't know.
We will
document it. I appreciate it. We'll look
right.
at it and find out.
You know, my wife enjoys the slot machines. I don't. Racing is a compromise. We'll go to after them. But, like, for example, today is the Breeders' Crown, the equivalent of, Manchester equivalent of the Breeders' Cup. You don't have it here. It would be nice if you did.
Thank you.
We're able to take that side.
We'll put that down. Look, we don't know.
Right. As I said, it's an archaic law in the book. That's what I was told.
Oh, no.
So you can't take out a state harness track.
Hi, I'm Mike from Maspeth, Queens. First, I want to say I think all the ideas that have been brought on so far have been fantastic. I think if NYRA does take heed, I think we'll see amazing results, and I think that... it'll be much better, much more desirable place for years to come. But like one of the gentlemen who was here earlier said, will they do it? And hopefully they will. Hopefully this is a great forum that will hopefully be taking heed to and help enhance the experience. One of the comments I wanted to make is I love going to gift shops and I love going to like Modell Sporting Goods. I like to look at sort of the new football or basketball or baseball jerseys and t-shirts with signage with Mets, that David Wright's number in the back, or Matt Harvey, or the Yankees with Derek Jeter, or Eli Manning with the Giants. I think some of the owners and trainers have kind of really cool silk, jockey silks, various colors, and some of the cool logos, and I think somehow, some way, we can sort of help market the sport by, I don't know how it would work, if they don't have to cut a deal with the owners, or how that would work, with the tracks being able to expand its gift shop and sell more desirable merchandise, sporting the silks or on a t-shirt. This way a person can wear it around the track, wear it on the street. You go to a Giants game, everyone's wearing, Eli Manning jerseys or Jason Pierre-Paul jerseys or even old Lawrence Taylor jerseys from 20 years ago. You don't see that with the track. And I go to the gift shop, I'm like, what can I buy? What can I buy? And a lot of times I just walk out of the gift shop, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm not interested in any of that stuff. I'm not interested in buying $15, $20 for a t-shirt that says, 2013 Belmont Stakes.
And it's cheap for $20.
But that's because it's on sale. They're trying to get rid of it. I'm like, I'm not interested. Okay, I can be sold for 90% off. I'm not going to buy a Belmont Stakes 2013 t-shirt. Maybe if you start selling something out for maybe 14, I might buy it and be kind of have some relevance. Then it becomes, just kind of becomes a collector's item, which I generally don't wear once it becomes a collector's item. So I think helping kind of take pride in some of the owners that maybe you may have made a bet on a horse that was 40-1 and it was owned by some stable that I'm gonna wear that shirt. Now, I have friends that play fantasy football and maybe someone like a Julio Jones is on his team and the guy's walking not even a Falcons fan, but he's walking out with a Julio Jones jersey just because he's on his fantasy team and gets a lot of points for him. That kind of stuff.
Thank you. I think it's a good point. I think maybe the main merchandiser, all pro championship sports that does all the major races. Maybe that comment would be good for them to hear. Maybe they do. Go ahead, and then I've got a woman after you, right behind you. Yep.
Dolph Winston, Town. I think you guys are trying to do a job, but you're also like salmon spawning, swimming upstream. I think the Racing Advisory Council can do things, but you need money. You should get a slight budget to do promotions. For example, all the newspapers are filled with all sorts of things about Saratoga. Both the Post and Daily News have cut back to the point that you have to look for the results of the previous day. And I think these kind of things, you've got to try to build a fan base. You gotta bring people, old timers like myself who've been around this thing for a, never mind. But that's the thing to advertise. For example, the newspapers should have things, new people should be able to put things in. But one thing that I thought of is to get interest. Something that says, whether you play the stock market or the horses, remember, one of the horses must win. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Mary from Manhattan. I just want to say, first of all, how much I love Belmont Park. I'm a history lover. I love the tradition and all that. And I heard something very disturbing. Maybe you guys mentioned it before I came in. I heard that you're thinking of putting a casino here. And, I don't picture that working out for a whole lot of reasons. I also heard, my husband and I were listening to a board meeting, and there's a celebrity chef on the board, and he talked about basically turning this area into a shopping mall. Oh, let's get a J. Crew, let's put some restaurants in here. And it seems to me like the last thing Long Island needs is another shopping mall, especially Belmont Park. And, he seems to think that'll bring more fans here. Well, if it works, it'll bring J. Crew shoppers here. And, I'm thinking, Belmont Park could use some refurbishment. But, I mean, could you answer me about whether people are thinking of turning it into a shopping mall? I really think that would be very sad.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on that. Have you been to Gulfstream Park?
No.
Astronic about the shopping malls.
You know, I mean, it's a village of shopping malls around the racetrack. Now, some people think it adds a lot to it because it brings younger people there. They have parties in the winter. I don't know whether it's good enough, but they do it. I don't know if it works. I don't know if anybody has any information about does it work or doesn't, but that's one example where they've done that.
One person commented about Gulfstream Park. We were listening to this board meeting. He said, well, he said that really hasn't increased the attendance at the racetrack. And it was an older person. You know, this person who was speaking up said, oh, blah, 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 let's put a J. Crew. And this older person said, well, you know, that really doesn't help Gulfstream Park. But what about the casino? Is that going to happen?
I heard Aqueduct, not Belmont.
Aqueduct already has a casino.
Yeah, well, they're going to expand it probably.
Oh, good. You're not going to put one here?
No, I don't think. I haven't heard. But the other thing, I think it's going to be bad about shopping centers. If you're better, you got one hand for your beer, one hand for your form, where are you going to put the shopping bags?
Oh, exactly.
Sure, you're going to carry it around for nine races?
Yeah.
Michael, they're also talking about a soccer stadium right out here.
Okay. Anybody else want to say something here? You got a good comment? You?
5 minutes.
Let me see what time we have here. We've got about
3 minutes.
Got 3 minutes of posting. Yeah. So we'll stop and then we'll kind of wind it down. And those of you who want to.
Hi, my name is Dave Farso.
It's too early to post time stretches.
My concern is that a lot of younger people of my age don't have any experience, and there's no way to get out. Now, one friend of mine knows that you can wager online. There's no exposure. They go to a bar. There's no TV with the races on. There's anything like that to at least get people to see a race. Because sometimes it's a hard sport to follow constantly. But you at least get someone to watch a race. Maybe they'll watch that race and it's exciting, and they'll watch another race. And I think racing in general just has to do a better job to get it out there. You're not going to win fans overnight because younger people, they don't have the capital to play this game very, very intensively. We're just starting out. We don't have a lot of disposable income. We just want to plant that seed because when you're older, you have more money, you have more time especially. That's the kind of people I think you want to really bring in here. But the younger people, they don't see a racing. Maybe they hear the Kentucky Derby, but none of my friends, they know I like horse racing, but they don't have any. They never really ask questions, or they're really clueless about the sport in general. I think racing in general just needs to get some exposure out there.
Thank you. That's good. We're going to, walk up. I just want to remind him, there's a gentleman coming up, because I know we want to watch the races, but if you have information and you have to be a little shy and you don't want to come up to the microphone, you can email us at gaming.ny.gov. gaming.ny.gov. Just as good. We'll take that as comments from you and we'll use them. We'll put them into the circuit. Please, sir.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Jim Murray. I'm from the Bronx, but I live in Hunt Valley, Maryland. Fan of racing. I think, just briefly, related to what this gentleman was saying as far as the products, gift shop type things, if you look at other sites, you know, Churchill Downs, Kentucky Derby things, but NYRA do a better job with their small items that get exposure out there. I think also to, you know, and it's not going back to the 60s, the glory days of racing, but of exposure. But the athleticism of the jockeys, the interest, and we might say the personal interest stories of the athletic event, they could do something with that. Also online, if you look at some foreign websites, like the France Galop, G-A-L-O-P website, if you're a first-time person, or you don't have to speak French, you click the thing, and it's so exciting. The clips that they have, the montage footage, that can make people fans. And to realize that the 2 minutes of excitement in the Kentucky Derby goes off every half hour out here.
Say that, give us that connection again.
France?
Yeah.
G-A-L-O-P, like Gallup. It's an amazing website. And they jabber in
what is historical? You're talking about historical races?
No, no, no. It's the national website. It seems that all of French racing is under one umbrella. But this is their national site. And also one other thing that I think you gentlemen would have to address, a fan of horse racing that I am, but people will say, well, number one, there's an association with wagering and gambling that is always tainted. Right? No, the capital K, gambling. Fine, that's the fun. Related to that is, which you should have a professional answer for, is people will say, oh, the horses are mistreated, the poor horses, they hit the horses, etc. They don't know how well the horses are looked at. They've never been down the back stretch. So that's also, I think, an image of horse racing, because they see the jockey's hands flailing, but they don't realize that they're just in the horse's peripheral vision and the limits of the, you know, how often they can hit the horse, the stewards, etc. So I think there's an image of, you know, the horses beaten as they're coming down the stretch, which we know is not the case, but that's something that could be addressed. I think a lot of it, to get people in the seats, would be based on the internet, because that's where everyone's going to go. And it's like New York horse racing, and Naira's going to just pop them as they open the site. The site is very good. They did a good update on that, but that's for the people who know what we're looking for. But you have to imagine that the experts figure out the first-time visitor to the site and make them show up. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one comment is that, you know, one of our I Love New York racing, horse racing thing, gets at that very issue. I mean, when a racetrack does that, they got a particular marketing goal, you know. But maybe we as a council, as a state, should think about how do we broadcast it? Racing's a great event. It's a great sport. And it's not because we're going to make money off it, but it's a great sport. Did you want to say something? Okay. One last comment, and then we're going to let everybody in the panel have one statement. You have Mitch, are you leaving, or do you have a comment?
No comment.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other comments? Charlie, would you like to wrap up with a statement?
Yes, and
one more comment.
No, I just had a question. How long do
the
board members serve? Current NIRA board, how long do they serve?
I think it's 3 years, because that's the time they take over the board, 2017. But I don't know after that. I haven't read your bylaws. I mean, I'm sure you can get their bylaws online. Charlie, if you want to make one comment, Alan, and
certainly, Michael, thank you. I'd like to thank all of the racing fans for coming today and offering your advice and recommendations. And I would have a suggestion for the people on the dais, too. I think, you know, most of the, quite a bit of the recommendations and the advice that we received today are NIRA-based. And, Michael, I would suggest that we could get a transcript of the proceedings and present the transcript to NIRA, to make them fully aware of every single bit of advice, recommendation, and the good and the bad. If we could present that to NIRA, it would be a big help. But thank you very much for inviting me to it, Michael. I appreciate it.
I just want to say thank you for showing up. I wish I'd gotten here earlier, but I knew Saratoga wasn't easy. But it's a wonderful sport. I'm sure you're just as much a fan as we are. And thank you for your suggestions.
Just echo the thank you for your time. You also missed the first race, and for my lot,
so you're ahead already.
I missed the pick five, which is probably going to save me a whole lot of money today. I just wish you all best of luck today, and because you came here, you're going to have some winnings.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Michael and Patrick for being here, for inviting Dan and myself to participate in this, and thank you guys for coming. And Who won the first?
It didn't run yet.
Oh, it didn't go up?
Yeah, it's still that 1 minute buzzer is going, so it didn't race.
Thank you guys very much, and I appreciate everybody coming out. And I need a winner, so please come up afterwards and give your opinions for today's card, and hopefully I can benefit and profit from you. Thank you.
And I'll just end it by saying, on behalf of the Racing Council and the Gaming Commission, and respect the Governor's Office who appointed us, we really appreciate you coming out. And if the fans will take what we're trying to do seriously, we will get deep. We will get ranks. If the fans don't take us seriously, we can't help it. So And we're here as a vehicle, so tell your friends, talk to us, tell us what you want. Only through that vehicle can we begin to put together ideas. Thanks very much. Have a good day. We have some gifts. Anybody wants them, take them as many as you want. I'll be down there. Thank you.
There they go.
My horse scratched anyway.
Did you have?
I like to.